I want to thank them for coming, and for those on Zoom, for sharing. I think we're going into our 12th year. If you want, if you less, don't vote. I don't get anything that exists. Somewhere around that range, all the learning this summer is English by Luther Trintanario, who was the original thought and idea behind this learning during the summer. And to be explicitly in the Shmatzai, and tonight, it's typically sponsored in the Shmatzai, as a tracker and from Yehuda. If you want to sponsor any other nights, you're more than welcome to let me know. I want to thank Rabbi Fried for coming tonight. Floor is yours.
Thank you for having me. It's a true Kiddush Hashem, this learning program, and it's supposed to be part of it, especially because I spoke here 2 years ago. When you get invited the first time, it doesn't say much. When you get invited back, it's either it wasn't so bad that they forgot, they actually remember and they appreciated it, so it's good to be back. I told my Bruce I was going to be giving a share on Davis Das. So you giving a share on Davis Das? Make sure you tell them. So I just said, I'm going to, by the time we're done, we have to come up with a heter that I don't want to give everything away. So let's see if we can go through this. There are certain terms that come up based on current events that we learned all these new words. Like COVID came around and we all learned the word quarantine. And then January 6th came around and we learned the word insurrection. So word that was actually useful that came around since it was after we printed the book in the first draft was the word information. We didn't have that word the first time. It's very hard to quantify native stuff, but misinformation is a great word. It does a pretty good job of summing up this concept of the information being given over in a way that you end up misinformed. So that really does capture Davis Das to some extent. It's not just when you pull a prank on someone. It's not when you just, you know, relapse, you cover up some information that we don't know what happened. It's specifically the way the Gemara and Rashi presented is that you're being getting some sort of benefit based on this lack of information that you've presented, or the twisted information that you presented. For instance, Matzik Lotoba. So the biggest place we see right in the beginning of this Gemara, that's how they dial it, it's 46 in the booklet, is that the Gemara says that it's also Lignei Das Avrias, you cannot capture the minds, misinform people, even a non-Jew, which means that we'll get to maybe in a few weeks, the idea of Gesel Akum, what is Mutter, what is Aser, and yet here it's somewhat unequivocal. Lignei Das is Aser, whether it's a Jew or a non-Jew, doesn't seem to be any difference between them. So we can't have even this extreme case that Gemara gives us where you're sending a piece of meat to the non-Jew, which is actually not kosher. To the non-Jew, it doesn't matter whatsoever whether this thing is kosher or not. But since he thinks that he went to the effort to make it kosher, and now he's going to be grateful to you, so that is Gemara's das, and you'll have to reveal to him that this thing is not actually kosher. So again, we see that there's no monetary difference. It makes no difference to the non-Jew. It's a gift. And yet, because the Mubin is going to be massively favored, he's going to be grateful to you. That is Nevis Das, and you have to go out of your way to reveal it to them. So the Gemara gives us two very big heterim for this, despite the fact that you're not allowed to have people being working under a false assumption and giving you a benefit. There are two very big heterim. You have to realize just how prevalent this could be. Altering life, someone you'll see is going to happen tonight. Someone comes in the last 5 minutes of the share, and here's something interesting. They come up to you after the shiur with a question. Now, they don't want to give away that they only were there for the last 5 minutes. So they present that as if it was such a wonderful shiur. I'm so glad you gave it. And I had this one question, giving over the impression that they sat through the whole shiur. That would appear to be Gnevis Das. You work in the office and you put out, you need some help, you put out an ad, you're looking for someone, and based on your office, based on the kind of job description, you get one applicant. You didn't have to use ZipRecruiter, you found the one applicant that actually works for you. So what do you tell them when you come in? You don't say you're the only applicant for the job. You say, I have to go through all the applications, but it looks like yours matches up the best. Well, that sure seems to be Gnevis Das. You'd be married a couple of years and the spouse starts dropping hints that maybe an eternity band would be in order. Now, you know, the eternity bands are going $10,000, and if you get the TV, you can get a lab grown for $1,000, Caesar's maybe even cheaper. And she's never going to tell the difference. The lab grown, no one can tell the difference. There's no way by the time this is found out, you'll be long gone. So why not? She don't know the difference. No way I'll know the difference, and I'll be saving $9,000. Is that Canadian's does? Sure seems like it. So this does come up, and we have to be aware the way we speak, the way we present ourselves even, could be crossing these boundaries. So the Gemara gives a story of Rabbi Yehuda, of Ula, who came to visit Rabbi Yehuda. It's on the first wide line on page 46 of the booklet. Ula, Rabbi Yehuda, Pasach, Nalei Chavius, Amkur, Zuchendini. He opened for him a barrel, which is actually sold to the store, meaning every time you open that barrel, you were essentially taking a loss on the rest of the barrel. You know, it's like soda. Once this comes out, it's over. So the barrel wine is a lot more than that. So people appreciate wine. It actually matters. And as that wine gets old and stale, it's not worth as much. So this guy walks in and he goes, oh, do you have a fresh barrel? So Yehuda apparently did this for Ula. So the Gemara says that should have been B'nei Mizdas. And yet the Gemara says, I do it, I did. Either he let him know. Chani Ula, the Yehuda, blah, blah, have to play. That Ula was very chavl to Yehuda, and he actually would have done this. He would have opened the barrel. Yehuda would have opened the barrel just for Ula's sake. So even though it happens to be that he was not taking the loss, because this barrel, the minute they were done their little party, was going straight to the store, was being sold, and there was no loss involved at all. Still, since he would have done it anyway, he would have taken the loss, so therefore he did not have to reveal. So that is one big hazard, which seems straightforward, that if you would have done it anyway, then you're allowed to stay with this misinformation. So you go to an out-of-town business meeting, and you're one of your acquaintances happens to be making a wedding in that town. I've seen this happen. So you're there for the business meeting, see the invite, this works out great. So you pop into the wedding and say, wow, you flew into Chicago for my simcha, it's sure for you anything, right? So if it would be true, this Gemara is definitely implying that if it would be true, if you would have flown to Chicago, you don't have to tell them, oh, you'd actually have them here for a conference. So don't tell them, because you would have come. But if not, you're going to have to find some way to break the news to them. Agent comes special. That's that. But yet we have another Gemara. Now, if you just flip a couple pages ahead, it's really back to back. Page 53 in the booklet, we have another story. So we have to figure out these two stories, how they drive. The Gemara basically gives the example we just gave. If you look on page 53 of the booklet, Sa'idal and Mabezin Kulin, for around 8 lines from the bottom. It says, or 10 lines really. Kel Marzutra bin Ramacha. Now it calls me Sikhil bin Machuza. Marzutra was on his way from Sikhra to bin Machuza. He's traveling. Rabbi Rav Safra, I call Sumi Sikhra. Rabbi Rav Safra are headed in the opposite direction. How about they met each other? Who saw Marzutra? Assume he meets Rabbi and Rav Safra, these two great Amorim, happen to be coming across to greet him. Who suddenly happened to call us? He assumed they were coming out to greet him. So Amar Lahu, he said, Lahu, Rabbanu, the tribe, well, also Kuli Hai. But you didn't have to. You didn't have to, means you had to, right? So he said, oh, really, you really didn't have to go all this way to come greet me. So Rav Safra, we know Rav Safra was famous as being the one who was there, Emes Bobaba. He was always honest, even in his own mind, he was honest. So Rav Safra couldn't let this go by. Only Rav Safra told him in the nicest way, Anan because he actually didn't even know that you were on the way here. But he had we known, we would have gone even further, but we didn't know. So, you know, I'm sorry to break it to you, but we did not come special to greet you. Only Rava tells Rav Safra, Rava was the company of Safra, tells him, my time I play off, why'd you tell him that? That's still the right thing. Now you insulted him. Now he was under the impression that we came out to greet him, and now you ruined this. Now he doesn't I feel bad. I'm later comes, you know what? So Safra replies, what choice did I have? I had to insult him. I had to tell him I didn't come special to your wedding in Chicago. I had no choice. To which Rava responded, he would come not the anafshe. He fooled himself. If he fooled himself, I don't have to dispel him of his notion. Since we didn't tell him that we came out to greet him, he came to this conclusion of his own. We were just minding our own business. We were heading to our destination. We happened to meet on the way. He assumed that we came to greet him. So we could have just been mum. We could have stayed out of this and let him stay with his mistake. So we have two different heterium for Devatas. We have the one that I mentioned before that I would have done it anyway. That's a reason to be mounting an Evatas. Now we have another reason, which is that if the person fooled himself, then I don't have to dispel him of that mistake. The problem is, each one of these seems to be a good reason on their own. Why don't the Gemara use these two reasons? You know, Rav Safra went and said, what do you mean? We're being matzah. Or Rav Safra said, but we would have come anyway. He told him that. He told him, You know, it's, the truth is, we didn't come special. Had we known, we would have gone even further, but you should know we did it. So Rabbi right away should have shot him down and said, if you were willing to come anyway, you for sure should have kept quiet. But Rabbi didn't use that and said a different reason. He said, oh, because he tricked himself. Same thing earlier, when you opened the barrels, you could have used the same thing before. Instead of saying that he would have done it anyway, you could have just said, well, I didn't tell him I opened it for him. I just opened it. He decided that I opened it for him. So the Rishonim are busy trying to figure out why these two Gemaras don't speak to each other. These are two great heter. One heter is that I didn't say anything, he fooled himself. The other heter is that I would have done it for him anyway. So are these heter independent? If they are, why did the Gemara use them in these two stories? So that needs to be worked out. There is a sheet of the Rambam. The Rambam does not bring the heter of I would have done it anyway. So the Mishnah says that makes perfect sense. He holds it to machlokes as these two Gemaras. They don't shim. And just saying that I would have done it anyway is not a heter. The only heter we have is that the guy fooled himself. But otherwise, just the fact that you would have done it anyway is not a heter for your neighbor's status. So if you actually ended up with the lab-grown ring, and you give it to your wife, but really you would have spent the $10,000. That's good to depend. According to the Rambam, he's looking at to say so. According to the other Rishonim, maybe you won't. Okay. How broadly did we interpret this thing of the guy fooled himself?
Did you respond at all?
That's interesting. There is a Me'iri. The Me'iri does say that once you guy fooled himself, I'm allowed to play along. There is such a Me'iri. It's not brought any of the places. I don't know if you're allowed to use it once, but the Me'iri does say it on the Akramar. So that once he went, he jumped the gun and said he came out to greet me, he said, sure, if you anything. So if you want to rely on the Me'iri, I don't know. None of the places can bring it down. I don't know what to tell you. It sounds a little shady.
Isn't it lying?
Isn't it lying?
Why is it? Would be lying. If it's not true, then it didn't lie.
That's correct. But to counter that, we're going to use the Shalom Heter at this point. One person in a situation where I'm going to be insulting the guy. He jumped to the conclusion, fooled himself. Now, I'm allowed to be at this point.
You're not saying anything. So just don't say anything.
If I can get away with that, it's really fine. If that's not the case, then it's going to look a little odd. So you came all this way?
You've written you by a few wives. You don't say anything?
So, again, that there's a Jamiri. I don't know if we can use the Lamaisa. There are ways of being coy. If you're good at it, you can pull it off. A good way, just keep this in mind, a good way to get out of the situation, the person says you came all the way, which is a relatively common thing, and you know it's not true you didn't come all the way, instead of saying, no, I didn't, you say, it's so Bashar, Hashem wanted me to be. That way, not only are you on his side, Hashem's on his side. It gets you out of trouble. Just, it was so Bashar, I had a conference right here, so it worked out. Okay, that way you're fine. But the concept in the first place of whether or not someone fooled himself or not is really hard to know. The question is, what is the gether called fooling yourself? When the guy is in Chicago, you walked into the wedding, why would he think you're in Chicago? Is that really called fooling himself? You happen to have had a conference in Chicago, but Punk worked out the date of his wedding. It's not really fooling himself, you would think. So even Rashi points this out, because this The case that we started with, we sent the non-Jew something betrayed. So over there, that was considered a neves das. We didn't tell the guy it was kosher, and yet it was considered a neves das. Why don't we say the guy fooled himself? So Rashi says over there was b'chezkas kosher, meaning if a Jew has meat that ostensibly is for him, so there's a chazaka that is kosher. If a Jew hands you a piece of meat, from Jew hands you a piece of meat, you're allowed to eat it. You don't have to ask him, is this kosher? That's a chazaka. If he hands you something to eat, or they put out food in shul for the oil, you can assume that, at least to the shul standard, it's kosher. The simple standard is kosher. That's a chazaka. So when you have a chazaka that something is a certain way, that's just as good as saying it is that way. So we can't just take he fooled himself too far, because, Chicago, is it a chazaka? I don't know. Things happen in Chicago. But let's say it's some random place, and you happen to really just happen to work out. So the guy really has a chazaka. Why else would you be in this godforsaken place if not for my wedding? So it must be that he came special. Then you're not going to have this heter anymore. You'll only have the other heter. You would have come anyway. Then fine. Then you're clear, at least according to those Rishonim, which you can rely on. What the Shulchan Aruch brings it, you can rely on that. But otherwise, if you would not have come he has every right to assume that you came special, you may have to say something. Now, the rush takes this to a whole new level. He says the only time he had a head there that the guy fooled himself is when he made a wrong conclusion. In this case, the rush says, how in the world were Rav and Rav Safra to know that my sutra was coming from? So there wasn't just a, he jumped like to the wrong conclusion. There was a hole in the logic. He was unfair of him to make that assumption. So therefore, that's on him. Because not only were we not guilty of misinformation, he just misinformed himself, completely missing the book. He missed the piece. So that's when the Rosh says, that's when you don't have to get involved, which clearly implies that if that wouldn't be the case, it would just be like a 50-50. And you would have to say something. However, Taisus doesn't put in those words. Taisus just says, when he points out these discrepancies to these two Gemaras, Taisus says, in this case, he should have figured it out. Not that he had indication, clear, or proof that it wasn't just for him. But he should have figured it out. He could have considered this as an option. This is pretty clearly implying that if it's a 50-50, he could have gone this way, could have gone that way. And you don't have to say anything. And thankfully, Shulchan Aruch goes to places. So at least there's a lot more leeway for people who jump to wrong conclusions that you don't have to say anything. So if you come and you tell your employee that they're giving them a raise, and they say, wow, it must be really hard for you. Maybe it wasn't. So you can keep quiet. But to go and tell them, yeah, I had to push with the higher ups, I put my life on the line for this, and obviously that's going to be their stuff. So the mistake has to be a reasonable one. Is it a reasonable mistake? At that point, you can say hands off and allow them to live in their mistake. But if the things are, the preponderance is that you did do something for them, so then you may have to sign some way nicely to dispel them with that. Now, a related question is a question of just general reputation. And this is much trickier. We don't really have that many Marvel Kaisons. Guy walks into the hotel, Pesach, and he's wearing the Armani suit. He's driving the fancy car. And he's sitting there at the Kiddush room. I've never been there, but that's what they tell me. Then the deal's happening there. So people assume he's a wealthy guy, and that's wrong deals in, right? And the reality is, this is the only Armani suit he ever owned in his life. And he wears it every day of the week. The car was borrowed, etc. So is that kind of us? Well, we all, to some extent, put ourselves a little ahead of ourselves. It's just basic selling yourself, right? Hopefully when you come home, you don't tell your spouse everything that's going through your mind. There's a certain amount that you put yourself in a better mood than you might be at that particular moment. Is that kind of us? Obviously not. If you're selling yourself, that could be at a certain level. But when you're just putting up a reputational thing, not a specific item, not that I gave you a gift that is not genuine and I tell you it's genuine leather. Like, you know, switch the bottle and then you take it to a cheap wine and put it into a blue label and just put it on the table. If it's not that kind of thing, it's just my general reputation. I look smart. I act smart. I look wealthy. I act wealthy. Is that kind of stuff? So we don't find this directly in the place. There is a Yerushalmi. It's wrote somewhere. Put it.
In the 40s, no, 53. Can you make sense of that? No, reasonable.
Oh, yeah, it is. Sorry, 54. In 54, they have a mission in Shvius. Very long Shvius. So, whatever it's at, Bishagi, someone killed Bishagi, he has to go to their mikvah, sends it over there that they want to give him covet. He has to let them know that he's a Ritzach. That's the mission darshan in Rama Pasuk. But Machash Lema quotes Yerushalmi. Zoyis Emeresis tells you on the left side of the page 54. Misha Edeim Sefta Achas Rechabner Yisrael Al Shtayim. So I believe Edeim Sefta Achas and Yikachom Le Yisrael. Someone who was talking in one Sefta, giving him covet as if he knows two. He has to tell them, sorry guys, I only know one. Now this is making problems. So this, the logical extension of this would be that if a guy's a millionaire, people think he's got 2 million. Gotta let them know I only got one. That's very uncomfortable. So there are a few ways out of this. One is that the place can go over the ring, Yerushalmi, and it is a threat because the mission is really coming from a pasuk by Ritzeh, which sounds like it's a local rule for Ritzeh. not a general concept. They have to let everyone know of your reputational hazards. So that's one way to go. The other way to go is that could be player is different. Player, the person actually is mechuyev to be mechaber. They owe you that cover. If someone is a talmid chacham, you must be mechaber them. But if you're not that talmid chacham, then you're essentially stealing that cover because they rightfully are entitled to it. They must give it to you. And by you taking it when you don't deserve it, you're essentially stealing that das. You're stealing that chacham's title. Whereas if someone happens to be under the impression that you're wealthy and you're not, okay. I mean, first of all, it's atan avshei many times. Who asked them to jump to a conclusion? We all know that clothing don't quite make the man. They might make the reputation, but they don't make the man. So they should maybe do some research. Second, they don't owe me anything if I'm wealthy. They choose to give me deals. That's a risk assessment that they're making. And I don't necessarily have to dispel them of that. If I am actually someone who can pull off what I'm presenting, then we're fine. Rav Moshe does say, and we'll finish with this, that if you're presenting yourself as a professional and you're not, that is not just name of das, it's name of mom. If you put on a white coat and you present yourself as a doctor and you're just Googling everything on the side, so that is, you're actually stealing from your patients. You're not just pulling off a little name of das scan. That's name of mom, besides for your butzicha and other nice things. The medically actually is halachas, but who's allowed to practice medicine? But again, that's our alternative medicine share. But even in a regular thing, if someone is assumed to be a licensed accountant, or economist, or even a plumber, and you're really not, you're just a local handyman, you cannot present yourself as someone who's licensed, because license means a certain thing, and you are clearly not that. It's not just the reputation. You're actually not what you're presenting. So that would be a Mavis moment, and definitely Mavis Das. So he presents that to cheating on a bar exam, or things like that, you're putting yourself in a position that you actually are not. Then he says it's definitely Mavis Das plus Mavis moment. But if it's just you have a general reputation, I don't think you have to spell that, so I think I'm safe. I'll do the rest of your own of shape. So I don't think I have to disclose more about my capabilities here. And I think we'll stop with that.